Hello and welcome back to another episode of Cannabis Insider. Whether you are a seasoned listener or joining us for the first time, I'm Pato Little here alongside my brilliant co-pilot in this adventure, Abby Higginbotham. And today we have a very special treat for you all.
Yes, thank you very much for the amazing intro, Pato. Absolutely, though, we are excited to explore a brand that is making huge waves in the cannabis industry and carries a hip-hop legacy. So we are thrilled to have Z with us today, co-founder of Tikal and Method Man's very own cannabis brand. Mm-hmm.
That's right, Abby. So without further ado, let's dive into the conversation.
Let's go.
Welcome. Thank you for being with us today. How are you?
Very well. Thank you. Pleasure, Pato and Abby. Thank you for having me and Tikal on today.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And well, let's start from the beginning. I wanted to ask you what inspired the creation of Tikal and how was it envisioned to align with Method Man's legacy in the music industry? If you could tell us about that this time.
Absolutely. So Tikal started from very humble beginnings. Myself, a dear friend of mine, a college partner of mine, he knew Naquan, Nut of Tikal, and Nut was Meth's right hand, is Meth's right hand, does a lot of work, you know, in the industry for him. And, you know, this whole thing kind of got put together and the three of us, you know, pitched Method Man and we told him, look, we met at a spot in Staten Island. We said, you know, hey, we want an opportunity to do this right for you and for your legacy. You know, we'll quit our jobs. We'll, you know, sell our cars and we'll bootstrap it. And, you know, we'll try to do it the right way. We'll try to link up with, you know, the best producers in each market and so on and so forth. And we pitched him and he was, you know, feeling what we were saying. And he gave us an opportunity, you know, to take this brand on and to give it everything we got. And when we sat there in that meeting, we'll never forget, you know, Method Man put his feet up on the table and goes, how are we going to do this when people are sitting in jail for cannabis right now? This doesn't make sense, right? So Tikal actually stands for taking into consideration all lives. So through that mechanism, we decided to at least start by creating awareness for disparities in the space and trying to work with great partners that align with our vision. You know, we say we prioritize partnerships with Black-owned, minority-owned, female-owned and operated business enterprises in the cannabis space to kind of create awareness. And it's also the absolute right thing to do. So that's, you know, something that we've been working with. We partner with these people and, you know, we formed great relationships and business relationships with our partners throughout the country.
You know? Super interesting.
I definitely want to get into the communities that you're kind of, you know, diving into, giving a voice to. But first, you know, we know that launching a brand is never easy, especially in the cannabis world. 7 years feels like 10 decades. But, you know, what would you say is some of the most significant challenges you faced while, you know, establishing the company? If you could go into that a little bit.
The fact that it was a celebrity brand. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, it's a gift and a curse, you'd say, you know, I mean, it's Method Man. So he has a 30-year legacy as a consumer and an activist for cannabis in one way, shape or form. So that's a little more authentic, but it's still, you know, celebrity brands had a tough run of it. And, you know, it was kind of like walking, like going up against a mountain already that was already ahead of us. So one of the, you know, people do in fact resonate with the fact that it's Method Man, but it definitely was also a challenge in the very beginning, you know, to let people know like, hey, we're trying to do things our way and we're going to, you know, like Method Man said in an interview, we don't tell people the way to do it. We just show people the way that we do it, you know, and that was a really cool notion. But yeah, that's one of the main challenges. And then, you know, it's the cannabis space. So there's curveballs, knuckleballs and everything in between all day, every day, you know, to use a baseball reference.
But, absolutely.
Yeah, every day.
Now that because it's, it has a fascinating story, and you just mentioned that it started as a celebrity brand. So I wanted to ask you, with Method Man's celebrity status, how do you ensure the marketing strategies, for example, enhance both his and Tikal's brand identity without overshadowing one and the other?
That's a great question. So a big piece of what we do is hand-to-hand, right? And that's something that's how hip-hop started in small communities, right, and grew. It's how the Wu-Tang Clan came to be worldwide dominating one of the greatest bands in the history of hip-hop. And it started in Staten Island. And it started by people getting those tapes and those mixtapes and hearing the buzz, and it grew to be what it is today. And so we take some of those, you know, pages from the playbooks, and we try to apply them to the cannabis space by doing a hand-to-hand approach. And then we, of course, have, you know, the advantage of having Method Man be involved in our brand and support what we're doing in his way. It gives us the ability to do other marketing activations around live shows. When he's on tour, he's certainly on tour with, you know, Redman. The 25th anniversary of their album is this year, so there's a lot of hype around that. And you know, so we're able to kind of do the hand-to-hand approach, and then around the music and activation approach to, you know, put our brand out there to the world.
That's super clear, right? And staying on the brand side, maybe I want to ask you, I mean, as you just said, Tikal represents more than just brand, it represents a cultural movement. So how do you maintain this identity and navigating the business aspect of Tikal?
We really try to find these partners and to highlight partners and dispensaries in some of the markets, right? So that's the very least we can do to start that narrative and that conversation, to make sure that we partner with groups that are aligned in whether it be social equity, whether it be environmental, and making sure that partners, you know, have the least carbon footprint in this process. I'd like to say everybody, all of our partners do, but some of them have incredible environmental controls. So finding those partnerships, staying true to that, and that sometimes can be difficult because, you know, if you're to switch on with an MSO, you know, a lot of those other challenges might go away. But we really wanted to, you know, stay firm and stay true to that, stick with the independence, and find you know, different groups in each market that put their blood, sweat, and tears into the products that they produce. Mm-hmm. And to have exceptional partners with exceptional products in our brand is the recipe for success in the market.
Thank you.
And, you know, branching off from that, creation, freshness, newness, and catching a consumer's eye seems like what's key in the industry. So what I want to know is, from, you know, across states, what's been kind of the strategy to expanding? What kind of guides your decisions when choosing specific markets?
It's a great question. So our brand started in California, right? California launched in California originally. And from that point on, we looked at markets that, you know, Method Man might do really well. And for example, he had a 10-year plus residency at Red Rocks for 420 in Colorado. Yeah. So we had thought that Colorado would be a market that supported the brand. And in turn, in reality, they ended up supporting the brand very well. And that's a market that does really well for us. And then we entered Vegas on the hub that Vegas is a great influencer marketing hub, right? Like, you can have all these influencers come to you, all the hip hop artists come to you, all the DJs come to Vegas. So that we can use as an opportunity to engage some of that influencer marketing, right? And most, you know, the other markets, you know, there's Missouri was the hottest market in the country when they went rec. So that was a no-brainer. New Mexico, also in New Mexico, turned on, no-brainer for us to enter that market because it's a hot market. And we thought that New Mexico would support the brand really well, and certainly they have. And then we're really, you know, it's an East Coast based brand. Meth lives in New York, and our whole team pretty much is based in New York. So looking towards the New York market, the East Coast, we felt that we would do really well on the East Coast markets. And that was kind of our, you know, kind of like our rollout strategy and approach. And then we recently launched in Canada. There's a big following for Method Man in Canada. So that was an idea there. And it's kind of like looking at the markets that the brand would do well, Method Man would do well, has a big following. And those are kind of the approaches that we've taken so far.
Exactly. Yeah. And you were just mentioning like international markets. I wanted to ask you about that later, but maybe on a broader angle regarding the international and the the regulations arena. We know that regulations in the cannabis industry are constantly evolving, as we are seeing with the ongoing discussion of the DEA rescheduling. So I wanted to ask you, how do changes in cannabis regulations affect your operations? And what policy changes are you currently advocating against or for right now?
To add to that, this is a conversation we can't, you know, ignore. We have to ask everyone. So yeah, please do share. It's the top of the news at the moment.
No, absolutely. For sure. The changes in regulation are we have to stay on top of that. I mean, each market in the U.S. is different. It operates as almost its own country, right? And then you get to Canada, which operates as its own country, and it is its own country, but it operates as its own. It was a massive learning curve for our team to get into the Canadian market versus the U.S. market, right? And every market is different. We're certainly on the international side looking at Germany. We think we would do really well in Germany. We think Method Man is very well received over there. Hip hop's big, Germany, the UK, Spain, Australia, some of those markets we think we do really well in, and we're certainly looking forward to the future. With that being said, the changes in regulation could affect us in ways that we can't even foresee at the moment. I mean, we always tell everybody when Canada flipped, right, they said no celebrity endorsements. Here we are building a celebrity brand in the U.S. If the U.S. decides to say no celebrity endorsements, that's going to be a massive pivot for us. Not sure that they will, but if you look at what Canada did. So, you know, and the U.S. certainly will once they're ready to flip. So the future is very uncertain. You know, the reschedule versus deschedule, I think the reschedule could be a step in the right direction, but to what end? It seems to be very uncertain. The deschedule seems would be the best way to go. So we think that, you know, descheduling would be the better approach than a reschedule.
You're
opening a can of worms when you get to that conversation. So that's, you know.
I think a lot of people agree with that sentiment too, that it's like, we don't know at the moment, let's see what happens, but prepare. And, you know, we couldn't have a Cannabis Insider episode without talking about rescheduling. So thank you for going into the weeds on that. But moving into culture, being a part of the conversation regarding its namesake of the company, how do you see the company kind of influencing the broader discussion around cannabis, specifically with hip hop roots? I find that fascinating, the combination.
So the broader conversation of cannabis, that statement is such a big statement. We'd have to kind of pinpoint a couple points in there, I would think, because are we talking about social equity side of that cannabis piece? Are we talking about the taxes that the governments are putting into these, you know, the statewide taxes and the, you know, 280Es? Are we talking like what direction do you kind of want to go there? I think there's just too much to unpack.
That's fair. It's a pretty broad question, but let's talk about profitability in that sense.
So profitability in the sense of the cannabis space affecting profitability?
No. So, okay. So we talked about it a little bit. It's just the celebrity, you know, the namesake with it, kind of combining cannabis and hip hop. Does that at all, you know, help marketing wise? Does this kind of open doors for other people who are into the Wu-Tang Clan, into Method Man, to kind of dip their toes into the cannabis world?
I mean, we certainly hope that we can influence people in the positive, you know, like certainly we would want our brand and Method Man to open up as many doors for people as possible. You know, like it's, you know, rising tides, you know, it's like we really feel like we can, if we can make that positive impact on somebody by either introducing them to the cannabis space or helping them with a brand, I mean, that's something that we'd be definitely open to do, you know?
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. And we couldn't agree more. And maybe thing on, but maybe going beyond profitability, better said, Tikal aims to make a more extensive social impact, and it's committed to supporting Black communities and businesses. So I wanted to ask you, what initiatives are you most proud of during your journey?
So at the moment, what we've been able to do is create awareness in the disparities of the space, right? And that's been an underlying for the way that we've moved, right? We haven't done any political movements yet. We haven't, you know, put the flag in the ground. And taking into consideration all lives lends itself to helping a variety of people, right? Mm-hmm. So when we talk about affecting the communities that we're in, there's certainly, you know, ways that we can give back and help in those communities, right? But the idea that when we launch in a market, if we are highlighting, let's say, Black-owned dispensaries, some might be doing spectacularly well, others might be struggling. But if we can highlight those stores and highlight our partners and continue the conversation around what's happened for the beginning of time, I mean, we feel that that can make a real impact. I mean, the fact that the term marijuana is a racist term is something that it's a crazy notion, you know, and you know, looking forward, there's plenty of opportunities for us to get involved in different local charities and establishments to really uplift the community. So these are all things that are to come and are bigger plans for Tikal as we expand.
That's fascinating. And lastly, as we look into the future, I know you came on today, you have some big news you want to share. Tell us about maybe any upcoming projects for expansion for the company. What should our listeners maybe keep an eye out for?
So this week we are going live in Florida. So we're very excited. It's a tough market. It's a medical market. Wow. It's a market that we feel we would do very well in. We partnered with Gold Flower and Ideal Cannabis to produce exclusive genetics for the Tikal brand. They're putting our first strain called Third Eye out this weekend. It's going to be available for delivery statewide, which is a crazy concept to me.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much. And you can find the products on tikalofficial.com/Florida to see where you can get products delivered to when you're here. But awesome. You have to have a medical card.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we call them our buds. Listeners, you heard it here first. Z, thank you so much for coming on and sharing this with us. Everyone, make sure to check out Tikal just more that's on the horizon. We'll be on the lookout for that. And Z, thank you for coming on. Please come back anytime. And until next time.
Thank you so much. Appreciate y'all. Peace.
Wow. Okay. So breaking news on our end.
Wow. Big news. I'm always so happy when our guests bring the fresh stuff here. Yeah. And I'm also very grateful.
Yeah. No, I mean, buds, I'm still getting used to calling everybody buds, but buds, you heard it here first. So like I said, make sure to check out Tikal for more information on that breaking news. But also, make sure to check out the latest and greatest in cannabis news at benzinga.com/cannabis, as well as any up-to-date information on our very interesting, very cool events that you cannot miss. But until next time, stay knowledgeable, stay green, and we will see you next time.
We'll be right back.